That is, do we do it too much? Are we justified in the sight of God in doing it? If my memory serves me right, one of the last illustrations I brought to bear on the lesson was the one about a fruit examiner. If you are purchasing fruit and the examiner pointed out some boxes of fruit that are spoiling, do you praise him or do you criticize him for letting you know that those boxes are not right? I made a decision to bring in another lesson, to just put that off until next week. To bring in another lesson to help us understand natural evil better. We are literally in the presence of a hurricane. It is literally hours away from us. It usually comes with devastation, destruction, hurt, evil, if I may. And things like hurricane, earthquake, tsunami, tornado, they are accompanied with so much destruction, hurt, loss. And they leave both the child of God and the non-Christian sometimes puzzled. And when we talk about the problem of evil, that's some of what we have in mind. In fact, let me just start with Dr. Alton Trueblood. We are planning in months to come to have a series of discussion in Wednesday night on this very subject, the problem of evil. If God is in fact a good, wise, all-powerful God, kind, gracious, why does God allow evil? And here, I'm not talking about moral evil. We are talking about natural or physical evil. Why does God allow, permit earthquake that sometimes kills thousands of people, a lot of them children? Why does God allow famine? Why does God allow hurricane, tornadoes, tsunami, lightning, each of which comes with its own destruction, if God is in fact a good God? This is a puzzle. For the Christian, for some of us, it does not create much puzzle. In fact, it is one of the challenges that the Christian religion faces today. Dr. Alton Trueblood, in his book, The Philosophy of Religion, says, the problem of evil is that which arises in any rational mind when the widespread tendency to believe in the goodness of God is challenged by the patent fact that the world is imperfect. The world has in it not only knowledge and heroism and love and duty and saintliness, but also vast amount of negative values. And these negative values include sickness, famine, death, evil. In fact, just keeping, he continues on 234, I think, the effort to find the third alternative, when you consider that God is supposed to be one who is both all-powerful and all-good, the effort to find the third alternative is an enterprise which fills many volumes and even has a special name, originated by Labin. Such an effort to vindicate the justice of God in permitting natural and moral evil. How can God do that? Natural evils such as earthquake do come to wicked cities, such as all the cities since all cities are wicked, but why do they not come to the other wicked cities? In other words, why certain natural things like earthquake come to some wicked city, but there are other some wicked city that earthquake do not trouble? Are we to suppose that San Francisco was especially wicked in 1906 and Tokyo especially wicked in 1923? Were they not other wicked cities? How do we explain this if you are going to bring God in it? So I say, we are, just this morning, before I left, the children, father, mother, Delano, came to the house to start to help us button up. The hurricane is approaching. It brings to our mind the destruction, the devastation, the evil which comes with any major hurricane. God's people, and especially men and women who do not know God. Remember I said God's people included. But especially men and women who do not know God, who do not study the Bible as we do, who do not understand the working of God as some of us do, often wondered in confusion what we have just said. If God is so great, gracious, loving, why does He allow earthquake, hurricane, tornadoes, tsunamis, with their accompanying death and destruction? Why God allows this? Let us hear the passage again of Isaiah chapter 45, verse 6 and 7.
That they may know from the rising of the sun and from and from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil.
I make peace and create evil. God creates evil. Did everybody get that? God creates evil. Are we there? There are some six words in the original Greek language that are translated variously in the New Testament. Evil, all six words are various places translated by the one English word, evil. You have the word kakia. It means badness. It means evil habit arising from an evil mind. It means meanness. You know, when we are mean, when we can act right and nice to people, we choose to be just mean. We choose to just want to put people through difficulty. Meanness. The word kakia have that concept. But you also have the other word, phallos. It means light. Wait. Not light. When you are light, that which does not carry any weight. But here is the concept. It means you are easily blown away. You know, cotton, little breeze, you just blow on it and it's blown away. One of the words for evil, easily blown away, are tossed about by every wind. Haven't we read that in the book of Ephesians? You are tossed about by every wind. That's right. That's evil. It means worthless. We are talking about the word evil, some six different words in the original Greek, translated by the one word evil in the New. The word phallos also translated good for nothing. That's evil. But you also have the word paneros. This carries the general concept of the word. And the general idea in the word evil is that which caused pain. That's right. That which caused hurtful labor. Mm-hmm. That which causes sorrow. That which caused suffering. Evil. That's the general idea in the word evil has to do with pain, hurtfulness, hurtful labor. It has to do with sorrow and suffering. Let us hear Isaiah again. That is 45 verse 7 only this time.
I form the light.
I form the light.
And create darkness.
God says, I create darkness. Darkness did not come by any accident. That was God's creative will.
I make peace.
God says, I make peace. The peace that we have inside our lives and we feel, that is by the efficacious will of God.
And create evil.
God says, evil is no accident either. It's my doing. The word used here, the Hebrew word, ra. The concept in the word, of course, the word is evil. It is translated evil in the Old Testament. It is used in other places and translated sorrow. So God is saying, I create sorrow. It is used in untranslated other place by the word wretchedness. God is saying, I create wretchedness. It's used other place in the New Testament untranslated adversity. When we go through adversity, God says, I create adversity. The word wrath, translated here evil, in the book of Isaiah, is translated other place means affliction. God says, I create affliction. It is used and translated in other places mean calamity. God says, I create calamity. Watch here. When the Bible says God is the creator of evil, God is the creator of evil. You have a natural evil. You have the moral evil. Just to pass on, moral evil is the wrong we, man, human being, do, create. The wrong we do against one another and against God. That is moral evil. God, when the Bible says God creates evil, and not Him create this one, He allows it. So get that right. God creates natural evil. Earthquake, tsunami, hurricane, lightning, tornadoes, name them. God create them. And we'll be looking into their working this morning. So that when we are confronted by things like hurricane, mark you, it's natural not to like evil. So the Bible is not saying that because God created them, you must like them. That's right. When the Bible enlightens us that God creates evil, or rather natural, and sometimes if I use the word natural or physical evil, mean the same thing. Natural evil, physical evil, as distinguished from moral evil, the wrong that we do. Now, what God wants His people to understand is that God created natural or physical evil, and in many cases they are God's agents or God's servants. We must keep that in mind. There's a passage we are going to be looking at from the book of Proverbs, where Solomon going to point out indirectly that when you are confronted by evil, take wise steps, if it is within your power, to avoid the consequences of evil. And in many cases, we can. In many cases, you know, like in almost every hurricane, you always have some people saying, me not leave my house. And me not leave here, even though government warning upon warning says you are living in a flood-prone area. And that has been advertised. The person will not leave. And then the hurricane come and sweep away his house, his children, his wife, and everything. And then we wonder, if God is so good, why permit this to happen? Are you all there? Solomon going to hint at that. So, you see, we can take steps sometimes. You know, I was listening, must have been Friday, having breakfast, and radio was on, and listening to one of these Tatian is the one, I think it's the same one where the gentleman from UC, Dr. Watts, says, where truth come to live and lie come to die. that's right. Now, he wasn't the one who was on anyway, but the lady who was on, there was a lady phoning, and it was about this preacher who are in some problem with the law arising from Dudusko, and the lady's one of those, you can hear and feel the self-righteousness. He should not have appeal. He should have bowed down on his knee, and she was going on on. But what I gather is that she felt he was wrong to appeal. And I was there saying, I never get involved in talk. Yes, I don't feel I have the time. But this was one of the time I wanted to phone the host and ask her to remind or ask the lady to explain how comes Jesus' greatest witness appealed to Caesar. When Paul saw the case was not working in his behalf and he was not getting his right, he said, I will appeal to Caesar. So I wanted her to explain that. But the point is, it's a lot of times in our zeal, our ignorance override our zeal. How does that relate to the lesson? We must realize that while God creates natural evil, we must understand how to relate to them when it is in our power. I just give the illustration where a lot of times we do not take necessary steps. Are we there? God is the creator or maker of physical or natural evil, not moral evil. Isaiah 45:7 is talking about natural evil. Hunger, thirst, pain, sickness, accident, excessive toil, earthquake, hurricane, tornado. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 22. Romans 8, 22. Let us hear it.
For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now.
Did you all hear that? That's talking about evil. So much so that it talks about the natural creation, you know. Let the brother read it again. Listen.
For we know that the whole creation...
The whole creation...
groaneth.
Wait, I didn't know nature can groan in pain. Yes! The whole creation groaneth.
And travaileth in pain.
And travaileth in pain.
Together until now.
Until now. But this is in reference to the evil that is in the world. Natural evil. That's right. May I? Take famine. Famine can be man-caused or God-caused. Famine can be caused because of civic leader, call them political leader, their carelessness, their greed, their lack of vision, not to put things in place. And famine can be caused by the Almighty God's own doing. All these are natural evil. Not, of course, when it is caused by man's greed or selfishness, that's moral evil. When because of man's greed, selfishness, dishonesty, our whole nation, our whole community suffer. That is morality. That is not caused by God. But in all things that we face, the Almighty God expects His people, where it lies in our power, to take wise action. Where it lies in our power. There are times it does not lie in our power. Look at Solomon in the book of Proverbs 22, verse 3.
A prudent man foreseeth the evil.
Wait. That's exactly what we talk about. Evil. The word prudent means a wise, well-thinking person. A prudent man
foreseeth the evil.
That is, he saw evil
and hid it himself.
And what he does?
And hid it himself.
Everybody gets that? He takes necessary precaution against that evil. Huh? Hurricane coming. You are told that it's going to be accompanied with a lot of flooding and water. You live in a water-prone area, flood-prone area, but you determine you're not going to move. That's not wise. Don't blame God. Huh? And even we will say, well, a God make that happen to him. No, God didn't make that happen to him. It's the man's own foolishness. Let me hear it again.
A prudent man,
which means a wise man,
foreseeth the evil.
He sees evil
and hideth himself.
And he hides himself from it. He takes the necessary precaution. But watch here now.
But the simple pass on.
The foolish person not take any step.
And are punished.
So you must be hurt by these evil. Huh? Some evil we need not be hurt by them. And that's what this passage is teaching. Look at Job 2 verse 10. Look at Deuteronomy 30:15. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 24:16. Let us hear them quick.
But he said unto her,
mm-hmm.
Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?
Are you all there? Christians, are you all there? Why do we ready to give up our faith in God? Why do we ready to give up our belief in God simply because something unpleasant happened to us? Why do we think we are so righteous or holy or immune that nothing negative or bad should come to us from God? Job was well ahead. What a great reasoning. Woman, why do you think we must receive only what is good from God? God is the creator of natural evil, and sometimes He used them as His instruments, as His agents, even against His people. We must beg God for the strength to be able to go through whatever He brings our way, if He brings it. Look at, was the verse finished? Yes, look at the other passage of Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 15. And then 2 Samuel 24:16.
See, I have set before you this.
No, the Almighty God is addressing the Israelites while they were on their march to the promised land. The Almighty God says, Israelite, no. I, the Almighty God, set before you
this day, life and good.
Life and
good.
Good.
And death and evil.
I said also before you, I, the Almighty God, death and evil. Wait, this was not talking about moral evil. God was not saying, I said before you that you are going to be hating one another, you are going to be biting one another, you are going to be stealing from one another, you are going to be coveting one another. No, that's not the evil here. The evil are some of the bad things that are going to happen to them. Natural evil. I set before you, what, brother? Death and evil. God did that. He was talking about natural evil. Look at the passage of 2 Samuel 24, 16.
And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said...
Wait. Somebody didn't hear that. The destructive angel, Brother Webb, was God using evil for the sin that David had committed. I think it's when he numbered Israel. Huh? How many people got killed? 70,000. That was God's doing. That was natural evil. It was not from man. God used the angel to kill all these people. Read that again, Brother Webb.
The Lord, and when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough.
It is enough.
Stay now thine hand.
Hold your hand. Don't throw any more evil upon them.
And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Arunah the Jebusite.
So here the Almighty God repented of the evil that he did. But this is not talk about moral evil. It's natural evil where God's angel killed so many of David's soldiers. Are we all there? Physical or natural evil are sometimes used as God's agent or God's messenger. Even today, I repeat, natural or physical evil are often used to carry out God's bidding, not only in the ancient world, but in the present world. That's right. Look at Genesis 41, 25 through 35. Read for me quick, brother. From verse 25 through 35. Genesis 41.
And Joseph said unto Pharaoh.
And Joseph said to Pharaoh, another brother, hold. Chapter 45, from verse 5 following. Hold that. Let us hear it. And Joseph said to Pharaoh.
The dream of Pharaoh is one.
Remember, Pharaoh dreamt a dream, didn't understand what the implications were, and all his wise men in Egypt didn't know either, but a prisoner, which God had permitted to be in that prison. I told you of a sermon that I heard when I was probably just 1920, that I still have not forgotten the title, Crippled to the Crown. Sometimes God does that with us. He crippled us to crown us. Here you have Joseph, crippled to the crown. A prisoner that will ultimately be exalted to be governor over Egypt. So let us have it, brother.
said unto Pharaoh,
mm-hmm.
The dream of Pharaoh is what?
The dream of Pharaoh is what?
God had showed Pharaoh what he is about to do.
God has shown Pharaoh what he, the Almighty God, is about to do. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? The famine in all that region was not accidental. God was in it. But famine is evil, Brother Mitchell, and God had his people there. Yes! But the Almighty God going to be working with his people to protect them from the effect of the famine. Wait. And as a result of protecting them from the effect of the famine, while they take the wise step, God will be helping the ungodly Egyptians. That will be a spin-off from God's effort to take care of his people. Wait, get a good picture here. Get a good picture. What you gather from the passage is that the Almighty God saw that nature, if I may, will be emptying out in that region some hard times. Lack of rain and lack of production, lack of food. God saw that. God could stop it and send rain, food and supplies produced, but God decided not to stop it, but to work with the hard times that are going to come, the evil that are going to come. God, if God is in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. And that is a fact. But the Almighty God now going to be using everything. Read on, brother.
The seven good kind are 7 years.
Joseph said, the seven good kind, the 7 year of corn, that represents 7 productive years. Read.
And the 7 good years are 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
The dream is one.
Mm-hmm.
And the 7 thin and ill-favored kind that came up after
mm-hmm.
them are 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the 7 empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be the 7 years of famine.
Uh-huh.
This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do.
What God is about to do. He showed unto Pharaoh. But watch here, all of this, it is marvelous. All of this, God was making provision, not so much for the Egyptians. Are we all there? But for one household, Jacob household, Israel household, that's the people that God was making provision for. And all this business where Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, sent in prison, in jail. His master wife lied on him. All this, God permitted it. Why? Because God knew the famine was coming. God wanted to preserve Israel. Family, Jacob's family, through which Jesus Christ would be born. Wait, that was some 2,000 years before Christ. What verse you stop, Matthew?
End of 28.
Read on.
Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine.
Uh-huh.
And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt.
All the plentifulness, the abundance will be forgotten because the famine will be so devastating. God knew that. So God put it in his servant. It's usually God's servant that know these things. That's right. God put it in Joseph to reveal to Pharaoh. Wait, you know what is interesting? When Joseph came and interpreted the dream, Joseph was looking for position. That's important. He was just delivering God's truth and telling of the natural evil that's going to be so devastating to Egypt and surrounding. Read on, brother.
And the famine shall consume the land.
You hear that? The famine shall consume the land. All this is natural evil, you know. That is caused by God, or permitted by him. Read.
And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following.
That's right.
For it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice.
Mm-hmm.
It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass.
That's right. That God said this. The truth I'm telling you is from God, and you better believe it and accept it. Wait. The same truth applies to this. When you hear God's truth, don't put up resistance against it. That's right. Christian, we need to get that. And if you are here today as an unbeliever, you need to get that. When truth is shared with you, respect it, love it, accept it. What verse is that?
End of 31.
Read on a little further, brother.
Sorry, end of 32. 33 now. Mm-hmm. Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise.
Wait. Isn't it interesting when God made you wise? Huh? Here's a little old country boy, never go anywhere. Just stay at home under his mother fractal and no have no experience. Yet he has the economic wisdom to instruct the greatest power that was then. So he's now being an economist and a minister of finance. And an agricultural minister at the same one time. That's right. So he said to Pharaoh, it's not enough that you be told that there will be famine after the plentifulness. This is what you are to do. What you are to do, Brother Blaise?
Seek out. Look out a man discreet and wise.
Look out a man discreet and wise.
And set him over the land.
Wait. Do you know that even in the church, you do not put just any and anybody in position? Huh? That applies to minister, elder, deacon, brothers and our sisters who are old. No, truly. Thoughtfulness has to be put in it. Read, brother.
Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt.
You hear the detail? You know who gave him all this wisdom? God. And that same God can make you and me wise today if we look to him. If any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men stingily. Bountifully or liberally. God loves to give not. What a great God. Truly, you know, God no love to give little bit. Huh? I told you of the friend we grew up with that he has a bad finger like mine. It's mashy, he cut it with a In fact, he's the same one I was racing to see who can cut coconut. Same one. And see the finger there? Country people and say machiated. And a machete. Whenever he's sharing anything and you see this finger go up in the ear, you know he's not going to pinch off much. Truly. But God doesn't share like that. The Almighty God gives plentifully and bountifully. Read, brother.
And let him gather, take the fifth part of the land of Egypt.
That is one fifth. Of everything, of the growth, the production of corn and grain must be stored away. Read.
Fifth part in the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years.
Mm-hmm.
And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh.
Well, what a wise. Here is a little country boy. That in Egypt, you know, to this day, the pyramids of Egypt that was built then. one of the greatest engineering feats to this day. Yet here is a little country boy that God instilled with wisdom, was giving instruction to the greatest power there. Read quick, brother.
Corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities.
Mm-hmm.
And that food shall be for store to one, shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine,
mm-hmm.
which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine.
You all hear that, brothers and sisters? But watch here, what we are saying, that in the midst of the natural evil, the Almighty God did not forget His people. All that Joseph had undergone, the evil done to him by others, his own brothers, the Almighty God was there guiding him. Look at these few verses in chapter 45. In chapter 45 and verse 5 through 8, quick.
Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves.
Well, remember what I said, that the Almighty God at times used natural evil as His agent, as His messenger. Hurricane can be used as God's agent. We don't know in what way He might be using it as His agent, as His messenger. But we do know that sometimes they are used. And in this case, under consideration, notice the revelation which comes from the words which Brother Webb is now reading.
Now therefore, be not grieved.
That is when Joseph made himself known to his brother. When they come and see this man in royal attire, a big shot with power, they could never in this world are the ones to come imagine that was the guy that their brother, that they sold in Egypt. When he made himself known, they wish the earth could open and take them in. That's right. I mean fear and trembling. But Joseph calmed them down. What a sight. What greatness. Joseph calmed them down and said, you see, Joseph understood the will of God. That God can use evil. God can transform evil into our good. So Joseph said, wait, calm down. Yes, I am Joseph, the brother whom you sold. Wait. Joseph said, yes, you meant it against me as evil. But God was working in it. If Christ is in the vessel, you can really smile at the psalm. So he said, read.
Nor angry with yourselves.
Don't be angry with yourselves.
That he sold me hither.
That you sold me. Wait, Joseph is also letting them know, I haven't forgotten what you have done to me. But he said, I'm not going to hold it against you. Why? Because he now understood God's will in this working. Read, brother.
For God did send me before you to preserve.
God sent me before you for what reason?
To preserve life.
Y'all hear that? Y'all hear that? All the rigmarole that we see in the previous few years with the jealousy in Jacob's house. And when Joseph did good to them, they did evil to him. You see, those moral evil was Satan working, but the Almighty God going to guide them to serve His God's purpose. And all that God had in mind was that God knew that a famine is coming. Probably the famine was not God's efficacious will. But God saw the famine and permitted it, knowing that He, the Almighty God, can overrule the negative effect of the famine for the good of His people. So He permitted the famine. And He prepared a man in the person of Joseph Because God knew that from Jacob's lineage, Jesus Christ would be born. The Lion of Judah would be born. And the Almighty God, way in that early stage, sent Joseph down to make sure that the life of Jacob and his children be preserved. Y'all get it? Y'all notice the value of one child of God? In fact, there's some more there, brother. Read on.
For these 2 years had the famine been in the land,
mm-hmm.
and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor...
Wait. It's only 2 years, and when you come down to buy little famine, to buy little food, probably for another few weeks or months, there's some 7 years, there's some 5 more years. In fact, probably not even Jacob had enough money to buy food to store up. And in effect, what he's saying to them is like, you don't have enough money to buy food for the next 5 years. God sent me to... Read.
There shall neither be earing or nor harvest.
Y'all hear that? There shall neither be
earing nor harvest.
Nor harvest. Read.
And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity.
Y'all hear that? To preserve a posterity. That's the key. That is, God wants to preserve the lineage from Jacob down. God was thinking of the importance of our Savior. And way back then, God got involved. Evil, yes, naturally permitted by God and used by God. So Jacob says, don't give the wrong interpretation to what you see. God has a part in it. In closing, remember what we have just looked at? That physical or natural evil are sometimes used as God's agent, God's messenger, even famine. Are we there? Just relating, remember when the Almighty God wanted to punish David? I think it was the same numbering Israel. The Almighty God gave them 3 options. And one of them was famine. One of them that there will be famine for so many months or whatever. So these are used, natural evil are used. In fact, that is found in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 24 verse 11 through verse 14. In closing, I repeat. Well, first, remember too that physical evil sometimes is the result of moral evil. Let me repeat that and explain it. Sometimes natural or physical evil is the result of moral evil. Illness is a natural evil. Are we all there? Need and starvation or famine are natural evil. But as we have pointed out, sometimes illness can come because of foolish, ungodly way in which we treat our own bodies. Are we all there? Illness can come because you might be mean to yourself. Are you all there? You're saving for the pair of very expensive shoes. Well, nothing wrong with that. But even when you are in need for something to eat, you can't break the money because it's for that shoes where you seek downtown that cost $10,000. The meal you need to eat costs probably less than 1,000. You get the point? When we go that route, we are touching on morality. We are touching on foolish reasoning. So a lot of times, natural or physical evil, like sickness, may result from moral evil, from us reasoning wrongly and doing wrong to ourselves or to others. I cannot get a job because I don't have the recommendation from the right person. All the right person who know me know that I'm a liar and I am this and I am that, so they won't give me a recommendation. Do you see the connection? There you have moral evil. It's because of the lie and the mischief you have done, why nobody wants to recommend you, and therefore you cannot get a job. Therefore you are hungry. Well, hunger is a natural thing, and you are dying of starvation. That's natural evil. But that comes because of the moral evil that you have done. We can go on and on and on. Are we there? Look how God used, and finally, natural evil as his agent in Acts 16:26. I need not go to Psalms while I had in mind to remind you of it. It was good for me that I have been afflicted. That's natural evil. That I may keep thy statutes. So here the Bible in Psalms 119, verse 67, verse 71, and verse 75 is telling us that suffering and illness, God may use them to bring us to our senses. But let us see Acts of the Apostles, just one of the many places where it's seen in the Bible where God used natural evil as his agent. 16:26 following.
And suddenly there was a great earthquake.
Earthquake, like hurricane, they are all natural evil.
So that the foundations of the prison were shaken.
Uh-huh.
And immediately all the doors were opened.
Uh-huh.
And everyone's bands were loosed.
Uh-huh.
And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison door open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself.
Uh-huh.
Supposing that the prisoners had been fled.
Uh-huh.
But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here."
Read on.
Then he called for a light, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
Our first time this man ever asked that question. And you know what brought it out? The earthquake. First time. Has he encountered Paul before? Yes. And probably other preachers of the gospel. But probably laugh at them. With all his regale and his Roman attirement as a great soldier. You see, it's when they served the army well, they were put in charge of prison. So he had served the army well. And with all of that, he thought he was some big dog. You couldn't get him to listen to men like Paul. But God got him, got his attention with the earthquake. The earthquake was God's messenger. Things like hurricane, earthquake, and other natural disasters, we don't like them. We are afraid of them, naturally so. But we must keep in mind that so often, that's what it takes to bring even some of us as God's children to our better senses. To bring us to be more faithful, more committed, more sincere. To the Almighty God. May God forbid it, but if we have a few natural disasters, a few earthquakes, a few terrible hurricanes, All the Christians that you have not seen in service for umpteen watts, you'll see them start turning up. Truly. 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 In closing, brothers and sisters, keep in mind that whatever the natural disaster, God is in charge. Paul in shipwreck is an example of and a lesson that God is in charge. Whatever the natural disaster, is it Matthew Blake? Sorry. Is it Matthew? The hurricane? God is in charge. What God expects us to do is take what step lies in our power. And He will do the rest. If you're here today and if you're not a child of God, God wants you to respond to His love and His grace the natural way. That is, don't wait until some disaster strikes. Please, become a Christian when you are rational. It's not out of naked fear. It's out of the fact that you recognize that God has a rightful claim on your life and that you are to serve Him. And He brought you here today to listen to this message. But God can just as well use natural evil, earthquake, hurricane, and whatever else, sickness, whatever else. God would prefer that you respond to God's love in Christ right now as we stand and sing a song that we sometimes refer to as the invitation song. Jesus Christ wants you to give your life to Him through faith in Jesus Christ as God's Son, repentance from your sinful, disobedient way of living, confession of Christ's name, and getting baptized for the removal of your sins, so that you come from the water like a new person in the sight of God. You know you can do that today, right now as we stand.
Wandering from the fold of God, hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to me thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment. Unprepared to meet thy God.
That's the greatest tragedy that any one of us may face, and that is unprepared to meet God. And in the song it says that your life will soon be gone. That refers to every one of us. Every one of us. While I was away, I attended a funeral. And this is a young man, just about 40-something. And what everybody was saying, that nobody knew that he was sick. He was sick for some time. Nobody knew. And when everybody heard, just wonderful person, when you hear people, it's like, just like that he cut off, died. Whether we are Christians or non-Christians, we do not know the span of our lives. At any moment you get a chance to listen to God's truth, that's the time to become a Christian. Today is the right time. Don't let the Almighty God use evil, natural evil, to wake you up. Come now. Christ awaits your coming as you come to be obedient to His will, and we are here to help you.
Why so thoughtless are you standing while the fleeting years go by, and your life is spent in folly? Oh, prepare to me thy God, careless soul.